You do sound weird.
Is that bad or good?
You sound kind of like me.
Okay, I'll take that as bad then.
Superhero Time with your hosts, XV.
We're like an 80s cartoon where we each have our own speech quirk so you can tell us apart.
Hey, Mickey.
I need more ham.
Paladin.
Germans with soda phones.
And Fort Max.
The Scooby-Dooby Door segment.
You're listening to Superhero Time. Pirates are awesome. I'm XV.
Let's go.
Oh, that's who.
Let's go, Kyger.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, insert sound clip here.
It doesn't really strike the same chord when you just say it, does it?
It needs the music.
Yeah.
That glorious, glorious music.
But we're not going to do that.
Let's go, Kyger. Go, go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go.
So, joining me this week with the wonderful premiere of Gokaiger, I have Hey Mickey.
Yo.
Fort Max.
Oh.
And Paladin, that's who.
Thank you.
So, before we get into the wonderful pirate stuff, there's toys.
It is, yes. Toy Fair Week, after all.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Basic rundown, or let's see, Mega Ranger Gold. They also had regular versions of gold, red, blue, and green.
Yellow and pink to come later.
Yeah, they said that
if
they're
the line
going
lasts
to be making
that long.
Them. Let's see, also the figure of the skeleton guy who hasn't shown up yet.
Juzo.
Yeah, Juzo.
Would you really say he's a skeleton, or...
He's got a skull face.
That doesn't necessarily mean anything. Skeletor,
he looks more Ghost Rider-y, though.
Skeletor has a skull face, but he's not a skeleton. He's just unfortunately
let's see,
named.
Also, Mega Cycle... Let's see, the Ranger Cycles for gold and green.
And making his triumphant... Making his triumphant return, the Transtech Armor Vehicle.
Yes. This is the third time, isn't it?
What series was this in again?
Overdrive.
Okay.
And it actually
Which
made
means
it into the show.
They probably just have boxes and boxes and boxes of the damn thing that were unsold, and they're trying to shit it out any way they can.
Let's see, also the...
That was an awesome little venomous mini rant there, Paladin. I'm very pleased.
Yeah, let's try. Yeah,
on the important side of news, though, well, we're finally getting a Rita Repulsa figure.
Yes.
Allegedly.
I was hoping to save that for the end.
We're doing things in order here.
Now, in the end, Ando, there's some figure of someone named Rita. I don't know what they're thinking.
If we were doing things in order, we would have started with Rita because that was the first picture out of Bandai's showroom.
The Rita figure, you can tell it's her.
But mostly because of the way she's dressed.
She's got very large hands and a very small face.
Well, I'm sure the Rangers would have had small faces, too, if they didn't have those helmets on.
That's true. She's got very large boobs.
Or
that's true to the source material, right?
Or at least a really good bra.
Again, that's true to the source material, right?
I echo what I said on Twitter when that picture came out. Those things are going to put somebody's eye out.
Yeah.
And it's going to be short-packed, which is understandable, because two things going against her. One is villain, the other is girl.
But see, short-packing doesn't really matter with Ranger toys, because...
You can't find it anyway.
Well, aside from that, like, you know, yellow and pink are always short-packed, but whoever has a problem finding them?
But that raises the obvious concern. This is still, of course, Bandai of America at Toy Fair, so how much of the stuff we see is actually going to come out?
You know what else we saw at Toy Fair?
What?
Gold Ranger Morpher.
Yes, Sushi
sort
Changer.
Of.
No, that's it's not the Sushi Changer.
It certainly is a Silver Morpher.
It certainly is a recolored Samurizer.
It certainly is not surprising that they did that.
Well, aside from the, isn't that pretty much what the, Sushi Changer was, aside from having
an
attachment for the disc?
Not at all. The Sushi Changer was a completely different toy from the Soda Phone.
Mm.
The Soda Phone?
Yes, the German Hessian device Soda Phone.
We got the Battleized Red Ranger.
Which is the already released figure with extra armor.
Yeah, so screw you to everyone who bought it already.
Good thing
I
didn't.
Yeah, that's Bandai, all right.
You know, that really looks like they took parts from a Musha Gundam kit and glued it onto a Red Ranger figure.
It looks like they went to Dollar General and picked up one of those knockoff Gundam kits.
I think that's what I just said.
Well, you said that the Musha, is that the knockoffs?
No, it's just a style of Gundam kit.
Okay, well, I'm talking about the knockoff ones you can look into Family Dollar and see.
But those are too small.
Yeah.
And also there's another set that has kind of similar to the RPM action sets that have the candy, that have the really even smaller roleplay weapons. It looks like one of those, but with the spin sword and hidden discs. Plural.
So screw you to the people that bought the spin sword by itself.
Yes.
Well, you know, Bandai America is all about the screw you.
And it comes with a belt buckle to hold the discs in, too, which is nice.
Does it come with a belt so they can spank you with it?
No.
I don't think I saw that episode.
Samurai flogging technique.
And also they had the octopus sword.
Squid. Don't you know
I'm
anything, Fort
for
Max?
Some reason.
What?
I'm thinking goes for some reason.
You must have tentacles on the mind.
Yeah, the octopus sword combines with the crab sword. Retro Fires are coming back. Yay.
But are we going to get any of the mold that we've seen that are so far unreleased?
Possibly.
I'm guessing no.
No, probably not. Although it's nice that they gave the SPD Megazord a gun like 3 times bigger than what it ever had in the show.
Well, why not?
They gave it
It's nice that they gave it a whopping huge gun. You know, that wasn't sarcastic.
It sounded really sarcastic.
Yeah.
And we've seen from the pictures, even though it wasn't at the show, they'll do a Retro Fire Samurai Megazord too.
Yep.
Right.
Or are planning to at some point.
It would make sense if they do that first, actually.
Wouldn't
well, if they were going
to
do that first,
it
would be
coming
a toy
out
fair.
At all.
That too. It can join the Mach Megazord and the Titan Megazord. That never came out, right? Did the Titan Megazord come out?
Time Force Red.
Yeah.
Well, I said makes sense, so that's probably why it won't come out.
Yeah, it was nice getting to see all this stuff in the showroom that's never going to hit shelves.
Yeah, and of course also did have the Claw Megazord.
And they showed it combined with the Shinkano.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah.
So it can do that, which is good.
And then it can wear the motorcycles as rollerblades.
Yes.
Which somehow I can't disapprove of. Because at least that's not an awful use for combining the motorcycles onto a Megazord.
It gives it skates.
Unlike, you know, unlike putting them on as, you know, arms.
Shoulder skates.
Street luge.
So the only one they're missing now is the bull.
Yeah. I imagine that's probably not going to come out.
Well,
the line will probably fail before that can come out.
Yeah, well, and the lantern.
Skip that one, but the bull's the only one necessary to form the final Ultra Zord.
It would be hilarious if they mirrored last year and would have only shown the bull at Toy Fair and never released the lobster and squid. Or heck, even just released the squid, you know.
They only put out the carrier Zord and the main Zord now.
Yeah. You know what was curiously absent from Toy Fair, though?
Dragon Zord?
Yeah, but that's not what I was thinking of. No, there was no Mix and Morph toys. What's up with that?
Man, those things sold so great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that
yes.
heavy sound.
Yes.
Your mom.
Although, I was at Target this weekend.
And there
I
was
saw
no toys, was
a
there?
Couple little kids swarming over the Power Ranger toys, so that's a good sign.
There was
sign.
Power Rangers toys at the Target by you?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm at the one by me, too.
I was at two Targets today, and there weren't any Power Rangers toys.
Yeah, what I've
one.
Seen at Targets are the 4-inch figures, the flip changers,
and the
and the skates.
Yeah, that's
yeah, the
all
basic, the basic action figures are, and stuff are only at Target, but the Megazords
no, I,
and crap are
at,
only at Toys R Us.
I've seen them at Toys R Us, too.
Yep. Toys R Us, by me, has the entire line, and they have sold through a complete case of everything except for the Morphers.
Which is odd, because I went to a Toys R Us today. They had the Samurai stuff, but there was no Morpher toys at all.
Well, people were actually watching the show.
Well, no, I mean, there wasn't, like, a space for the Morphers, even.
Well, they...
Well, Toys R Us is about to go through phase changes, so...
Yeah, mine just itched the past week.
That would explain why the stuff was all just shoved into whatever spare spaces
but
they could find.
There wouldn't be pegs specifically for the Morpher, because it's from the same case as the Spin Sword.
I was surprised by how big the Spin Sword actually looks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good little size.
It's still puny looking, but it's a lot bigger than like the Dragon Dagger toy.
Yeah, and the Mega Blade is freaking huge.
Yeah,
I saw that too, but I didn't feel like spending $25 on it.
But yeah,
I was hesitant about that at first, but then when I got it for my birthday and played with it, it's worth it. It's a really awesome toy.
Well, I'm sure it'll be around later.
Yeah, it's probably the favorite roleplay toy I own right now, I think.
Hmm.
It's just very, very satisfying to pop it open and make all the noise and the loud-ass samurai music could play out of it.
That's always a plus.
Yeah.
And it also, another plus, it has an off switch.
Yes. Unlike the Jungle Fury Wolf Morpher, which is always on.
It doesn't have an off switch, does it?
Just like your mom.
It does, except if you turn it on, any slight vibration will set it off. So
why don't you just turn it off?
Are you talking about the Morpher or your mom?
Both.
No, your mom causes huge vibrations, not slight vibrations.
But we're talking about reacting to slight vibrations.
Oh, she can't even feel slight vibrations. Go get a jackhammer up in there.
Okay. So, is that all that there was to see at Toy Fair?
I believe so.
Yeah, that's all the Power Rangers stuff.
And we're not really a Thundercats podcast, so we'll have to just do without.
No, but there
although
is one other...
Although, should be pointed out that, that the Thundercats sculptors are a lot better than the ones working on Power Rangers.
Power Rangers always gets the short end of the stick.
Yeah.
Just like your mom.
So, where to next?
Well, there was one other bit of toy-related news over the weekend.
The Mobile Rate?
At Wonderfest in Japan. Remember those Armor Plus Ryo figure I had a while back?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. They finally showed Inferno, didn't they?
Well, they're doing all five of the remaining Ronin now, so yes.
Oh, I missed that news.
Tamashii Web exclusives, I'm assuming?
I'm assuming, too, yes.
Because what else would Bandai do but release them in a format you can't buy them?
Well, not release them at all, but that's Bandai of America. This is Bandai of Japan.
Yeah. So are you going to buy some more of these? Assuming any are available to you?
I'm going to try not to, but I don't exactly have a good willpower when it comes to this kind of thing.
Of course, if they released Anubis, you'd probably have to buy that, wouldn't you?
I would definitely jump on Anubis.
Yeah.
So would
your
mom.
She
best
has.
Best weapon ever.
What, Nikki?
Best weapon ever.
Your mom?
No, Anubis' weapon, the Kasarigama.
Oh. Well, what about his jacket?
Right.
That was pretty awesome. That's the problem. I worry if they make an Anubis figure, they wouldn't include a jacket for it. And that would look wrong.
I think they'd get it right.
I don't know, it is Bandai. Even Bandai of Japan makes stupid mistakes sometimes. Of course, you can't blame Bandai of Japan for the original Ronin Warriors toys, because I believe Takara did that.
Yeah.
Didn't we have this discussion once?
Yeah, last year. You're the one who brought up the Ronin Warriors stuff, though.
Yes, I know. It's my own fault.
Always. Okay, so also this weekend, the Gokaiger toys were officially launched.
And there was much rejoicing.
And Paladin's still waiting for his Gokaio.
Apparently the line was extremely successful. Most stores sold out within like an hour or so.
Most stores pre-sold out, actually.
Yeah.
Apparently, pirates are just as popular in Japan as they are in the rest of the civilized world. In the rest of the civilized world that is not besieged by actual pirates, anyway.
There are no actual pirates anymore. There's just those guys that rob you on boats.
Those are pirates, Mickey.
No. Pirates have parrots and peg legs and patches and other pee-related words.
So does your mom. Your mom loves pee-related words.
She does. It's true.
Nickel doesn't begin with a P.
Well, we could replace nickel with peso, and then... What is a peso worth?
Nothing.
I'll work on that joke and get back to you with it later.
Just like your mom.
But I think the neatest thing at launch with Gokaiger is the Mobi rates.
They're pretty insane.
It has approximately 10 million in one sounds.
I don't exaggerate.
Okay, fine, just 10 million. I mean, it says Merry Christmas to you. It also thanks your parents.
Does it actually say it?
It also thanks your parents for buying it.
It also says O's.
Yeah.
So it probably also says happy birthday at some point, too, if it has the O's info.
Well, nobody's revealed what the key code to get the O sound is, so there's no telling how far that would go. Although, since it has a code you can enter for it to yell out superhero time, I'm thinking that's why it has Kamen Rider O's in there, too.
I assumed it was going to be for the crossover.
We don't know that there is a crossover. Not an actual crossover.
Well, what you're going to need to do is... Well, you're probably going to break down and buy it anyway, and have to work it into the opening somehow.
Well, just wait till you hear the opening to this week's show, among other things I have planned. But no, I probably will, if HLJ or AmiAmi restocks next month, I probably will pick one up. I want one very much, but I'm not going to spend $70 shipped for one.
Yeah, I almost bought a Gokaio until I saw it was going to cost to get it shipped. Then I realized I didn't want it that badly.
Yeah. But, no, you can punch in 0730. It'll say superhero time. You can punch in one of probably a dozen codes that makes it yell Gokaiger. Then you punch in the O's code and it would yell Kamen Rider O's. Then you basically have the whole superhero time intro sequence currently. That's probably why that's in there.
I would think so.
Rather than hinting at a crossover between the series.
Do you want to be outstanding? If it was already programmed with the next Kamen Rider show name in it?
The next Rider show?
Yeah.
Why the next Rider show?
Well, because it premiered while Gokaiger is still on.
Yeah, this is sadly going to outlive O's.
What do you mean, sadly?
O's is good.
There's nothing sad about this. This is our new double right here. Except without the detectives. But there's still time for that. What?
Pirate detectives.
I'm down with that.
But are you down with OPP?
I don't think that's a Mobi rates code.
Oh.
But yeah, the Gokaiger toys are looking pretty nice. The gimmicks on Gokaio are pretty springy.
Yep.
Of course, that Magi Dragon add-on's kind of sucky looking.
I'm glad I didn't spring for that add-on set now.
Yeah, you'll probably do better getting the Deca Ranger one.
And whatever the Six Ranger pilots.
You think they're going to come out with an accessories award for all the shows? Because that would be really awesome.
Probably not.
They're doubling up. The Gal Lion is supposed to serve for both Gal Ranger and Shinkenger, allegedly. So I think we'd see more like that along the way.
Could be worse, I guess.
Could be Ghost Sager.
I guess they could double up Z-Ranger with Dino Thunder.
Actually, I think Opera that was Ranger. In one of the listings, yeah.
Okay.
That there'd seems like the obvious one.
There'd be a red Tyrannosaurus toy that was supposed to be for both of those. I think that was in the solicitations, now that you mention it.
Well, we'll find out eventually.
What did Fort Max post here?
Oh, someone tried. How cute.
Alas, they don't actually fit into
each other. But it's wrong.
Yeah. Well played. So, I guess that's all for what's happened this weekend.
With toys.
Yes.
In other news, we got the best goddamn show ever made.
Well, not here.
Well, I don't know about you, but I've got it on my computer, so yes.
The world got it. No, that's good enough.
If you're listening to this, you don't have the best show ever because you're listening to us.
That's kind of a reach for that joke, Fort Max. And not a good reach like your mom has.
Your mom reaches for ham.
Who am I kidding? Your mom can't reach past her own sides.
She doesn't have arms. She has
pseudopods.
Should be substantial,
but really is kind of sad.
What?
If she can't reach past her own size, that should be kind of substantial, shouldn't it? Considering her huge sides?
Yeah. Doesn't mean her arms grew with them.
No, her arms just grow out of where she needs them, like pseudopods.
Well, now we're just getting into a whole other thing with your mom. If she can grow extremities as she needs them.
Depends on the nickel.
Let's take a quick break.
Go, go, Podcast Rangers! You mighty morphing Podcast Rangers! Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?
What exactly are you doing? Death?
Come in, Nino.
We paid your mom a nickel to listen to Superhero Time. She died.
Okay, so we got a lot of show stuff to talk about.
Yes, so let's start off with the best, Gokaiger.
Oh, all right.
Yo-ho, me mighties, it's time for Pirate Sentai action.
Arr. I'm kind of worried, actually, because there is no way they are going to be able to keep up the awesomeness of the first episode all the way through.
Leave it to Fort Max by starting off with finding the cloud and the silver lining.
Well, he is the cloud and the silver lining.
I thought that was you.
We have a silver lining?
We end.
Well, instead of worrying about giving me something I've always wanted to see, an army of Rangers.
There sure were a lot of them.
Yeah. And the show just gets better from there.
I mean, there had to be, 170 or so individual Rangers?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, when a show starts off with giving you your biggest dream for a Sentai show, and then it gets better after that, what else is there?
Okay, about 190, actually, figuring in the sixths that were there.
Yeah.
Well, we kind of guessed going into this that it might start off that way to echo the Rider War from the beginning of Decade.
Although this was rather removed from the concept of the Rider War.
But it's visually kind of the same.
There is a similarity. And I have to admit, I've always wondered what it would look like to have every Ranger ever in one place.
It would be very, very bright.
It was. You see how they got all glowy and everything?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what was amazing about that? All the previous Sentai teams lost their powers, and it wasn't even the Ghost Agers' fault.
Well, the Ghost Agers were there. Yet? It could have been their fault.
No, it seemed to be Aka Ranger's idea.
But see, when he suggested they all kill themselves, it's noble.
Or not kill... or probably he was... Is it actually mentioned that they died? It was lost their powers.
Yeah, there is no specific mention that the previous teams actually died in the process.
It's just very confirmed that they're gone and been gone for quite a while.
Yes.
And I'm sure some people are already complaining about how this fits into continuity, because...
The way I'm working with this is that the entire series is a separate continuity, no matter how you want to view the series that came before. And that's, for one thing, how all of those previous teams existed in one place together. And, you know, that settles the matter of the passage of time, too. It's a different world where similar but not identical events happened in the past.
I'm going to say that trying to explain it is really just a waste of everyone's time. So you're just trying to ruin something that's great by trying to justify when this is continuity is wrong or, you know, stuff like that.
Which is fair.
But we're superhero time. We have to ruin nice things.
Well, we already do that for everyone else.
Wait, you said nice things.
But so, yeah, then...
yeah, and you have a bunch of... I also like some of the various team-ups that they had by theme.
Yeah, that was good, too. Like yes. The Kaku Rangers and Hurricangers working side by side.
Ranger squadrons.
Rangers together.
Sentai forever.
I like seeing the Green Ranger going at it again, too. But that's probably just because we're Americans.
Yeah.
We have
yeah, that's one of the big complaints because he's supposed to be dead.
Well, you know, I imagine Toei has an inkling of how popular Green Ranger was and is.
I'm considering that after him, that he was the first
long-term
that was there for more than an
member,
episode,
yeah.
And that
right.
They've had his sixth Ranger in nearly every series since.
I'm sure it was no coincidence that they focused on Dragon Ranger a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a bunch of them were using their weapons. There were some special attacks, the Jetmen flying.
It would have been great if they would have shown Magi Red and Deca Red with their Battleizer equipment.
Yeah.
Only Deca Red had the Battleizer, though.
No, I think Magi had it in one of the specials after the series.
If it was after the series, it's possible, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how Saban translates this to America.
I'm actually really curious about that, too, but we're going to have to wait a while to find out.
Yeah.
Which is probably for the best.
It will probably be something like, yeah, there were a bunch of other Sentai, there were a bunch of other Power Rangers teams in the past that were
you never heard of
long
before.
Ago, and here they are, and then they'll mix the names up or something.
Shoot, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah, the screen cap from that you posted from that 4chan thread, Fort Max.
Yes.
That is basically how I envision this going down. Why don't you reenact that for us?
I am Amazon!
Yeah.
So after the awesomeness of the opening ends, we get the glorious theme song.
And then we get
even more awesomeness.
We move into the subsequent awesome of a giant space battle between a pirate ship and a war fleet.
Oh, wait. One thing we forgot, though, is apparently the mascot for the team is a robot parrot.
Yes.
Which is awesome.
Yes, it is.
They are pirates.
And he's not Datus.
Well, you probably would have liked Datus better if he was a parrot.
No.
It's okay. Still Datus.
Yeah. Mm.
And the space battle itself,
is f***ing awesome.
Yes, and then they form their Megazord, and it battles in space and
finishes with a giant robot rider kick.
Yes, and the CG and in that space battle, the Megazord is during all the action sequences is CGI, and
it looks really good.
It looks okay.
It looks really good for Sentai caliber CGI.
Yeah, it looks definitely better than.
To me, it looks kind of like they went back and got late 90s mainframe to do it.
Which isn't really a bad thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is that's
compared to most Japanese CGI.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly better than Energon.
But it's not as nice as the Rescue Force CGI.
No. God, the Rescue Force CGI was incredible.
It was. It really was.
But this was many times more awesome than Rescue Force.
Image is probably a whole lot more complicated.
That was great when the Megazord did that flying kick through all those ships.
First of all, he did a flying kick, shot a whole dozen ships while he was kicking, and then continued to kick in three or four more ships.
Yes. Plus, before it transformed into the Megazord, it used the mast sword it has to cut through other ships.
And yeah, was firing it, but all its side cannons.
Yeah. It was
it looks like the main villain is a spoiled jerk.
So the main villain is the Ghost Agers?
Ooh.
I said spoiled jerk.
Oh, not spoiled dumbass.
No, singular.
Oh, okay, I get you. Yeah. I like the design of the, I guess it's the bridge set for their ship.
Yeah.
It's comfortable.
No, the villains, I mean.
Oh, okay,
of course,
sorry.
The lead villain also has a part of his helmet, like, sticking out, like, 3 inches or something in front of, right between his eyes.
He thinks he's an anime character with a fancy hairstyle.
I like how the villain costumes all look super metallic. Like, they're not just, like, silver paint. They actually look like they're made out of metal this time.
They are really good costume designs this time.
I'm sure this show had a higher-than-usual budget since it's the 35th anniversary
and
series.
And also, I like how the mooks are deployed from electromagnets. Yes.
Yeah, that is pretty clever.
And it makes their weird head design make perfect sense.
Yep.
That's why they have flat tops to their heads.
The Garbage Pail Kids do look good in action.
They're dump troops.
Oh, I like that better. We're going to go with that one instead.
Yeah, and especially since what happens to a bunch of them later.
Right. So, the Gokaigers arrive at Earth, fight their way awesomely through
after they fight their way through the army and land, well, and dock on Earth, which involves
dropping anchor.
One anchor on the roof of a building and the other on the street.
Right between the people.
Yes.
Conveniently.
And then, yeah, one of the best introductions sequences.
Where are the Gokaigers? Where's your treasure?
I like that he's a megaphone.
Yeah.
And nobody, of course, has a clue what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Kind of like this show.
I'll tell you what, though. Captain Marvelous definitely lives up to his name.
I would follow him to the end of space.
People laugh when he announces his name.
But it's so appropriate. It's just because they don't know him very well. See, that's one thing the show has going for it over Ghostager, besides being not Ghostager.
It has characters?
Yes, it has actual characters. I am not pained to look at the actual characters, and they're likable actual characters.
Yeah.
They have depth. Hooray.
They have more depth in just the one episode than the Ghostagers did the whole year.
Like, even the Princess Pink, even though she's super, super girlish, she's still entertaining.
She has a personality.
Yeah. And she actually is a good foil against the rest of them's roughness.
Right. Well, the three's roughness, anyway.
Well, yeah, okay.
Green's not that rough.
Green's
he's hyper, though.
Green's kind of like Ziggy, I think. But without the shadow puppets.
Or Hanto.
He's a Green Ranger, is what you're saying.
Yeah, pretty much.
What a surprise.
For some reason, I kept expecting him to be black, though. Black Ranger, not black, you know.
Well, he does become black.
Not regularly, though.
Just when it's convenient.
That's not his default color.
If it was, we'd be getting... Pink would have the RPM green form.
Which she should have anyway.
Yeah.
Or yellow. Okay, so they decide to go get lunch when they can't find the treasure.
Well,
no,
first
but
they
at first
money.
They have to get
knows
some money.
What they're looking about, he decides to go get lunch because he can't think on it. Because he can't think straight when hungry.
But first
Who
they
can,
need some...
Really?
First, they need some money.
Yes.
So the first place they go, pawn shop.
No, jewelry store. Like.
A jewelry store and a pawn shop are not far removed concepts for it, Max.
Well,
they're pretty much the same thing, just in terms of class.
Right, one's a little classier than the other.
Yeah, well, that's how I knew it was a jewelry store and not a pawn shop.
But it's funnier if I call it a pawn shop.
Yeah, true.
It reminded me of the jewelry store from O's.
I think this was actually bigger, though.
They sell Luca's ring for...
No.
Again.
Milfi.
Yes.
We can't ever let that drop.
Yeah. Yes. Sell the ring for 10 million yen.
Or 1 million, depending.
10.
Well, the other one says 1.
They've corrected it in the V2.
Oh, I didn't know there was a V2. Okay, so 10 million yen.
Is a lot of money, even for pirates.
Well, let's see. That's like
about $100,000.
Is it $100,000 or is it a million?
I thought it was a million.
Well, no, it's $100,000. The dollar kind of sucks against the yen right now, so $100,000 could be right.
Well, the rough the roughish estimate is 1 yen is about 1 cent.
Yes, but $1 is about 82 yen. Mm. Or is it the other way around?
Yeah, $1 is about 80 yen.
They got some cash.
Yeah, a lot of cash, and then they go to some through a cheap ramen shop.
No, curry. It was a curry shop.
Curry shop.
Yeah. Get your facts straight there, Fort Max.
Yeah.
It's Fort Max.
Yeah.
And it's the show.
Maybe somebody else should talk about this.
Well, we learned that the Go-Kiders really aren't bothered too much by explosions.
Well, Fort Max, what was the other running joke that was started on 4chan about that?
I didn't even get that. I was linked to this from to that image by someone else.
But you included the quote with that animation.
Wait, which animation?
The one with the explosion in the
Oh, alley. Yes. Not a shit was given that day.
I thought it was not a fuck was given that day.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, one of the two. And not a fuck was given that day. Yeah, well, the others... Well, four of the Go-Kiders duck, cover their heads and start ducking.
That's called duck and cover, Fort Max. Yeah,
Captain Marvelous just stands there.
Because he's Captain Marvelous.
Yeah.
He really is.
Yeah.
But yeah, first they get their curry shop blown up around them before they can eat a bite of their food.
Garrett is upset that gets pissed off with the guy behind the counter because he's not going to give him another thing of curry.
The shop is in ruins all around him.
And meanwhile,
hey, replace my curry.
Get what of her money she can.
Yeah.
Yeah, Luca blind? Freaks the hell out when her money starts burning.
I'm not sure who's having the most reasonable reaction to the explosion, the storekeeper or Milfy.
Both, really.
And of course, Green takes the sign with him.
Well, he needs a shield.
Yeah.
And he couldn't use one of the other Rangers?
He's not that assertive.
He's not Hyde.
Right. Wrong color. So yeah, that's about when the Zangek start invading.
Yeah.
Again,
and
apparently.
Then shit gets real.
That one guy points a gun at the group of school children.
Well, first, the dump troops are cutting down people in the street.
Yeah.
Bitching.
Bloodlessly, I'll admit, but they're still cutting down people in the street.
Yes.
And they blew up that one car.
Yeah, already in the first episode, this villain group has done more than most other Sentai villains do throughout an entire series.
Well, definitely more than the last ones did.
No, well,
that's not
sure
exactly high praise, but yeah,
they did quite a lot of damage. I mean, they blew up the tower a couple times.
They did more damage to us than anything else in the series.
Right. Well, so did the Ghost Agers, though.
Well,
It's hard to say who was more destructive overall.
No,
in Ghost
I was going
Ager.
To say. Wait, the Ghost Agers weren't the villains.
Right, it's hard to say who is more destructive overall in Ghost Ager, the Ghost Agers or the various villain groups.
No, wait.
What?
You mean Broadzilla and whatever was the main villain?
Okay, I think you've worn that joke into the ground already, Fort Max.
No, I'm pretty sure the guys
just
in the
like
colored
mother
were the villains.
Okay. Stop beating the ground with that dead horse, Fort Max.
Dead horse.
Bitches leave.
Surge.
Then the
I am Amazon
guy that sent down. Yeah, points gun at the
school teacher.
The teacher's head and
And Captain Marvel shoots the gun out of his hand, basically.
Yeah.
He picks that moment to decide that he doesn't like this. But he conveniently doesn't say what this he's talking about.
Well, it doesn't really matter. I mean, even a pirate's got to have some sensibility about not letting kids get shot.
Well, who was responsible for ruining his lunch?
The shop owner. Oh, that's who.
Very nice.
Yes. So what were we talking about?
Captain Marvel shoots the guy who's about to shoot the school teacher.
Yeah. Because he's marvelous, damn it.
Indeed he is.
And then we get one of my favorite choreographed ranger fights.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about their morphing things. They get like nice space backgrounds.
Yeah.
And they're really hammering this anniversary point home if they actually say 35 during the morphing sequence.
Yeah.
And I like
the XXXV.
Yeah, and it's a short morphing sequence.
Which is always welcomed.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then Green strokes his thighs, which is not welcome.
And also, even in the theme, in the opening theme, Green starts jumping, waiting to run off.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Green's a little spaz.
What I really like, though, is that not only are the jackets separate pieces from the costumes, but that's established during the morphing sequence.
Yeah.
You know, they all start with plain black spandex
with the skull
suits.
On it. Well, with the skull and crossbones on it.
Yeah.
I just like
they establish how an X turns into a jacket.
Maybe it's the V that turns into the jacket.
No, I think the V is their hat, isn't it?
They weren't wearing a hat then, were they?
The V is the sword and key crossbones.
Well, anyway, some things happen and some suits appear.
And then there is another awesome battle scene.
Possibly really, the most awesome battle scene.
Yeah, it was really great.
It's like end of the series great.
Yeah.
And this is just
in the first episode, we already have three separate battles that are probably the best three battles in any of Sentai.
Or at least in our memory.
Yeah.
I like the way they kept swapping their weapons around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When we first saw the initial picks and they were each holding different weapon quantities, we thought it would be kind of weird, but it turns out they actually swap weapons with each other during the battle.
Yeah.
And that's judging by awesome. The preview for next episode, it looks like they're going to find any excuse to have Pink and Yellow swap their weapons as much as possible.
Innuendo.
In your endo.
In your mom's endo.
Let's say that, there's that scene where Green takes that ridiculous jump off that tower and catches himself with a wire.
That was already strung there earlier by Milfy.
Yep. Yeah, all the stunts in this are incredible. I love it when Red blocks the attack with a sword and then shoots the guys in the chest.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Because he is awesome like that.
And
he's marvelous.
Pink's whole sequence with the two guns, too.
Ah, yes.
How many other series would ever feature a Pink Ranger dual-wielding guns and taking on hordes of foot soldiers?
Time Force.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
That.
They did that in Reinforcements from the Future, where I think actually both Pink Rangers were gunning down... What were the putties in Wild Force? Anybody?
Nobody knows or nobody cares.
Cogs.
No. In any case, that's what they did, and it happened.
Well, the Time Force isn't exactly a typical example.
Was it Batlings, or was that... No,
that was Lightspeed
Rescue.
But anyway, in Gokaiger...
And Gokaiger, the Yellow Ranger, fights with swords on the end of whips.
Yes. She certainly does.
Yes.
And then after they kicked everyone's ass, they figure, let's pull out some more powers, just to show how powerful we are.
Yeah.
In which case, it really is like Decade.
Yes, and first, they use Go Ranger.
And the school teacher they conveniently saved gives a lecture on how Go Ranger was the first Super Sentai on Earth.
Right.
Because you know, school teachers actually know that.
Then they use the Go Ranger Hurricane.
Yes. And like the Big Bomber, towards the end of the series, it started getting crazy, such as the egg that hopefully XV will put in the show notes.
What egg?
The one that I linked on, that I emailed you.
When was that?
Yesterday.
The Go Ranger Hurricane or whatever?
Yeah.
Beats me, I delete most of your emails.
Probably for the best.
Yeah, it's fairly inexplicable when the football bomb turns into a dump truck and just drives away on its own.
No, not a dump truck. Garbage truck.
The yes, hell's the difference?
You're right, garbage truck.
There, you don't know the difference between a dump truck and a garbage truck? Put your headset back on.
It is.
You don't know the difference between a dump truck and a garbage truck?
Yeah, I figured that out while I was saying it. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I mean, I guess in a different meaning of the word dump, they could potentially be interchangeable.
Yeah, I just linked it here, so...
I'll delete that, too. Thanks. So,
Yes, so the garbage truck just appears, swallows up the mooks, and then just drives off on its own.
Yeah.
Wonder
That's
where
fine.
It went.
That's the part of that you're concerned about.
Well, it didn't blow up.
Why not?
You never
Seems
blow
to me
up.
Like that would be the best way to get rid of all of them.
Yeah,
you never
but
blow
this
up
is the
putties.
There's a, somewhere out there, there's a garbage truck full of mooks.
Or at least crushed cans.
Oh, that's sad.
It's kind of like at the end of the first Ninja Turtles movie with Shredder in the garbage truck. Well, that's what I was thinking at the time.
Casey accidentally crushes Whoops. Shredder to death.
Yeah. It's okay,
oh,
he got
Casey.
Better.
What a rascal.
It's fine, he got better. And then he died again.
He died after being turned into Kevin Nash, and that's just horrible.
Isn't that a fate worse than death already?
Well, see, that's the hidden moral of Ninja Turtles 2. If you play with toxic waste materials, you'll turn into Kevin Nash and die.
So sad.
Yeah.
As was Ninja Turtles 2.
Not nearly as much as 3.
You ever notice that they don't ever use their weapons in Ninja Turtles 2?
Yes.
Yes. They use hot dogs.
And yo-yos.
Yeah.
And your mom.
No, they can't wield her.
So, given that the Gokaigers can turn into every Ranger team, they are clearly the most powerful Sentai team, are they not?
Potentially.
I would assume that, yes.
Judging by what we've seen of them so far, yeah.
But yeah, I'm seriously waiting for them to turn into Jack. So they
what was the one
the
that came
bomber.
Right after Jack? The one where they were weird?
Battle Fever?
Yeah.
Didn't Battle Fever come before?
Did it? No. Didn't you watch the ending? They did them in order. And Jack came before Battle Fever.
Mm. That's... Okay, yeah. I remember. Go Ranger and Jack were not technically Super Sentai at the time.
Yeah, well, yeah, those were the pre-Spider-Man series.
Right, those came before Spider-Man, and then after they did Battle Fever and started the actual Super Sentai genre with that, they
now,
went
Battle
back
Fever
and...
did have the giant robot, but not a transforming giant robot.
They went back and retroactively declared Go Ranger and Jack to be Super Sentai also.
Yeah.
I just can't wait to see them trying to work in Battle Fever's costumes and have them make sense.
Okay, now I'm not entirely familiar with Go Ranger's costumes, but was I imagining it, or did Pink's helmet have earrings?
Yeah, that sounds like Japan.
Well, I guess I have to go look now.
Hold on, I've already got it up.
Well, I was actually going to go look at pictures of the original costumes.
Well, give me another 10, 15 seconds here, I can tell you.
Well, that might work better because I can't actually find a good picture.
Oh, crap. I was looking at the wrong scene. Durr. She's definitely got something in her ears. Can't really quite make it out.
But there's definitely something bouncing around hanging on her helmet.
And... Yes, she's got cherry hearts hanging from her ears.
Then I wasn't imagining it. Oh, Japan.
Well, she's a girl.
Of course, really, that's nothing compared to Battle Fever J.
No, didn't it start off with like a Captain America homage that went crazy?
Okay.
Pretty much.
There was Spider-Man, and then after that finished, they were going to do another series based on Captain America. But at some point, well, it was going to be called Captain Japan, for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
The obvious reasons being Japan is nuts. But at some point in the process, it evolved into Battle Fever J instead.
Yeah.
And really, that's the only way to describe it.
It just kind of became that somehow.
Kind of sounds like Gosager, too.
Well.
So, the first episode of Gokaiger was damn awesome.
Yeah.
So, after they wrap everything up and the kids try and thank them for saving them.
Well, you forgot all the other... They use the Go Ranger Hurricane, they then use the Shinkinger powers.
But they didn't really do anything...
They could throw a lot of people's powers.
Yeah.
They didn't really do anything spectacular with the Shinkinger or Magiranger powers.
Yeah. It's just because they could, because they're pirates. Right.
They're just demonstrating the concept for the audience.
Yeah.
Because they have toys to sell.
Or something.
Or would if actually the stores kept any of the toys in stock.
If Bandai would send them any.
Yeah.
Then when they're thanked for being saved, don't thank us, said he was... They were here looking for something, they weren't going to stay, and they just blew up my curry.
We're not heroes, we're just pissed about our lunch.
And on, you could tell that it looked like that he was trying to find something to say that, no, we didn't, we weren't saving you or something. But you could tell that he was trying to come up with something to say that, no, that we weren't saving you.
Then it really is like Decade.
Being heroes.
Decade did that a lot, too.
The pirates got reputations to maintain.
Yeah.
Just like your mother.
So that was Gokaiger.
And it was
and
awesome.
Then you have the ending, then you have the Pokérap ending theme.
It's the all Sentai version of the engine rap.
Yes, yes.
But instead of Sentai number one, they don't actually like number them.
They should have though.
Eh. But it's your Super Sentai history lesson.
Yeah, yeah. I'll follow which order they're in now.
And if you had watched Decade, you would learn what order the Heisei Rider series took place in, too.
Well, sure, I know.
Ha ha. And it looks like we get a normal Megazord battle next week, too.
And also the preview shows Akka Red.
Wonder what he'll be doing. Probably giving them their mission assignments.
Starting up whatever this show will get close to for a plot.
The same thing Kiva did in Decade.
Because really, I don't think a plot matters too much as long as it keeps being this awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could just go keep wandering around and getting their lunch blown up on them, and that would be great.
I'd be fine with that.
They never get to eat once during the whole course of the series. It'd be like Roadrunner cartoons.
Yeah, they just keep blowing up Captain Marvelous's curry.
That would be such a good running gimmick for a while.
Yeah.
But then, basically, anything this show could do would be awesome, apparently. It was such a long, dark year, and now we have something good.
It's like we were rewarded for our patience.
We paid our dues, and now it's time to kick back and enjoy.
Paladin was at least rewarded for his patience. He's the only one who stuck with Gosager from beginning to end.
Well, we all had to hear about it, though. I mean, that's almost as bad.
Not nearly.
You had to talk about it.
Okay, so it's time for O's.
Come on.
Come on!
Unfortunately, this set of episodes is a... The boring one.
It had the misfortune of airing against Gokaiger.
And it had the misfortune of
not much happening.
And also having the most boring of the greed.
Yeah. Uva It really kind of sucks.
He's a little boring, yeah.
Though granted, this plan was kind of interesting.
And we basically did get to see O's versus Shin, so that's kind of awesome.
Yeah, in a way, that's true. It also proves that the Greed don't really care what desire they make a yummy from. It doesn't make a difference to the cell metal production, apparently.
And plus, with this one, it was kind of a good thing to go after because it would give... Because O's would have issues destroying it.
Well, I don't really think that was part of the planning.
Well, yeah, this is Uva.
Who
now, if it was
no
Cazaly's, yeah.
Yeah, Cazaly would know that was going to happen and actually go for that. But no, Uva is just dumb. Of course, he is
not
just a bug.
Not gamel dumb, but not bright.
He is just a bug, you know.
Yeah.
Bugs are only smart in numbers.
So what, smart or dangerous?
Well, same thing, basically.
So okay,
Go ahead.
Did anything really happen at all in these episodes?
There was a guy, and he sucked, and he left his family because he sucked.
Good. They're probably better off without him.
He was going to leave until he sucked less. But
until the yummy got sucked out of him.
That sucks.
Yeah. You can tell we just, like, completely expended all of our enthusiasm with Gokaiger.
Oh, plus sign, it was a Uva story, so...
Yeah. Well, okay, I guess the highlights of this are Date continuing to work with Goto.
And Date messing with Maki more.
You know, yeah. Even after Date isn't birthed anymore, he needs to still be on the show just to bug Dr. Maki. Like, yeah. He still needs to, like, live in Dr. Maki's lab and everything.
Yes. This time, he tried to take down the painting. the creepy, creepy painting.
This immediately
the creepy
after having
cult-like the painting.
Immediately after having a tug of war over the second birth buster, since he gave the first one away.
Yeah.
Apparently, that was not a popular decision.
Well, it may have been a popular decision. Maki just didn't like it.
That makes an unpopular decision for it, Max.
And in the end, AG lost one medal but gained another.
Gained two. No, he lost two, didn't
he? He lost two.
He lost two, got one back, then got a different one back.
Yeah.
Getting closer to that all-important tentacle rape form.
Yes, and this time, whose fault was it for losing the medals?
Onk.
Ankh was kind of spazzing out in the second episode, wasn't he?
Yeah, Ayn, and that, yeah,
even more than he usually does.
He had the peacock can out there to get the medals.
Yeah, AG's not stupid.
A, insurance, and B, heck, you release this a kid, I'm going to get the medals back anyway.
Right.
Well, at least he's not as stupid as Ankh likes to think he is.
Yeah.
AG was bluffing, something that we thought he couldn't do.
AG is learning.
Yes.
Ankh is a good, bad influence on him.
Ankh is not learning.
I think Ankh is actually getting dumber.
And of course, Ankh blames AG for losing the medals.
Of course, Ankh is probably still kind of freaked out about absorbing more core medals and not growing back anything.
Yeah, and when AG does ask him, what the hell was... Ankh, shouldn't you be growing back, or are you different or something? Ankh is very relieved when he senses a yummy.
Yeah, he doesn't want to really address these problems.
Because he probably can't explain it just yet.
And he doesn't. And I don't think he wants to acknowledge the problem himself either.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows there's something up, but he doesn't really want to be thinking about it all the time, probably.
It will distract from his ice cream.
Yes, and even better, since these episodes aired the day before Valentine's Day, it was Valentine's themed at the cafe, complete with
Hina and what's her name dressed as Hershey's Kisses.
Yes.
Oh, is that what they were supposed to be?
Yes.
It took me a second to put together why they were wearing foil suits, but you know, the chocolate theme caught up with me.
I think Daisy said it best. What country is this from exactly?
Well, I think he was referring to the Cupid suits that he and Date were wearing.
Well, it's all over. I mean, what?
It was nice to see Goto using the Earth Buster without consistently getting knocked on his ass.
Yeah.
Well, he still got
knocked on his ass, but not as much.
Yeah, and of course also, Goto was given some Valentine's chocolate, Eiji was given some Valentine's chocolate, and Ankh was given some Valentine's chocolate ice cream.
Yeah, I think Ankh must have come from Bill Cosby, because it looked like he had a pudding pop.
He wasn't wearing a sweater, though.
Maybe next time. I'm sure it's, you know, kind of warm out or something. I don't know. Whatever. So yeah, O's was a little bit more boring than usual. Too bad.
But even a boring couple episodes of O's is still better than most other things, so.
Well, you know what it is better than still?
Yeah, I certainly do. And we don't ever mention that show ever again.
No, not that. Why, what show were you thinking of?
What show were you thinking of?
Well, no, I want to know what Mickey was thinking of first.
I'm thinking of Ghost Sager.
Okay, I thought you were thinking of something else.
What do you think I was thinking of? This conversation's stupid. Let's move on.
Well, that's
that
kind of
be our tagline for each podcast.
This conversation's stupid. Let's move on. I'll see about getting that recorded with the next round of liners.
Just put in the cold start.
Yeah, you need something to replace, and now for something completely uninteresting now.
Well, we do have the one where you're listening to Superhero Time go completely off subject.
Yep.
Which I could probably use 4 or 5 times in one episode, but I try to limit to once.
Yeah.
Although this week you could use. This week.
I'm losing you, I think.
Yeah.
Paladin?
Testing.
Oh, that sounds better.
Yeah, one thing about these episodes of O's, though, is the kid they had in them wasn't irritating at all.
You don't think so?
No.
That's debatable.
He was no Nozomo.
Well, it was kind of nice when he ran up and kicked that guy in the shin.
Yeah.
But still.
Oh, they didn't play him up to be, like, you know, ultra cute or anything. He was just a kid.
Yeah,
he wasn't
too
smart. He wasn't saving the day or anything. He was just a regular little kid.
Contrasting against his father, you know.
Yeah. It's just, you know, whenever they put a kid in these shows, they're always super smart or wise or.
Or
know,
have super. Or have, like, level 5 security clearance or.
Yeah.
Have superpowers.
An or actual they could, realistically they could be, portrayed child, which was nice.
Or they could be that white kid from Gekki Ranger.
Yeah.
But sadly, he had no dead mom to dress up as.
No, for dead parent, we have to go to this week's samurai.
No, not dead parent.
He could be dead. Maybe they just
read between
hurt
the
yet
lines, Fort Max. That dude is totally pushing up daisies.
Okay, so for this week's episode of Power Rangers Samurai, we have
Samurai Forever.
We have
together.
It's just another episode of Shinkanger again.
Samurai Forever.
Though Bulk is actually somewhat in the same area as the main cast at one point.
I was actually thinking about this. So far, do we have any indication Bulk is even in the same country with them? Like, could they just be shooting the Bulk and Spike scenes in, like, Los Angeles
America
and cutting it into the show?
Thought crossed my mind.
Could it be Raymond Burring, Power Ranger Samurai?
That could be very true.
You know, if they, and because I have a hard time imagining that, for one thing, he would relocate to New Zealand for a year just to have a small recurring part on Power Rangers again. That's kind of a big commitment for a small role. You know what I mean?
I can't imagine they'd pay that well.
Right.
Well, it's the Bond.
So is that a yes or a no?
It's a. They wouldn't be paying that well.
Enough.
You know, if Bulk actually ever appears in the same frame as the main cast, and it's not an obvious composite job, then I'll believe he's actually there. But as it is right now, I'm thinking more that they're just cutting together separately shot sequences.
Well, we might know if they give us the first f***ing episodes.
Yeah,
well,
I mean,
that's true, too.
This one may have actually been be a earlier episode than the premiere.
No, this definitely comes after the previous episode, just because I know the way the Shinkanger episodes went, and this is the episode following what we got last week.
Which would be number four, then.
The first character development episode in Shinkanger was for Green, then was for Blue, like this week was.
And a little bit of Pink, too.
Well, that was the thing with Shinkanger. The focus episodes weren't always just specifically one character. They would kind of mix it up as needed.
Which was sometimes refreshing.
Sometimes, but it was still early Shinkanger and not that great. And sadly, that little problem translates into Samurai, too.
It appears to be, yes.
In a way, I guess it's my fault for having watched Shinkanger, so I even am aware of how closely adapted it is. You know, all I can really see when I watch it is, this is a badly done imitation of what Shinkanger already did a year and a half ago.
I think you're judging a little too harshly. I mean, I'm sure it's a little dull for you to see the same stories again.
It's disappointing.
But it's pretty well done, actually.
I mean, I will admit there's high production values on this. You know, they're taking advantage of the fact they're shooting in HD for one thing. Everything's all, like, bright and shiny and crisp, and I like that. But still, I need more than that.
Need some actual depth.
I think I was spoiled a little bit by RPM anyway.
I think we all were.
It was so completely different from Golanger.
From anything, really.
Well, but the yardstick here is how closely adapted to the Sentai it is, you know. And RPM definitely wasn't Golanger.
I just don't see why you think it's good or bad. You base your good or bad opinion whether how far away it gets from the Sentai. I don't really get that.
My point is that I'm disappointed they're not trying to do their own thing with this.
I think what they're trying to do is get the tone right more than anything else, and I think they're concentrating on making sure the show is approachable and likable and nostalgic in all the right areas, and I think that'd be a lot harder for them to do if they had to rewriting every episode.
I would think that would be easier if they were rewriting every episode. Because how can they make it approachable and whatever other thing you said that I wasn't listening to when they're just rewriting directly shot for shot the Shinkanger episode?
Because they're not worrying about writing at all right now. They're worrying about getting the old Power Ranger feel back.
Which seems to be missing since all they're doing is adapting the Sentai directly.
But it's not missing. I totally feel it.
The old Power Rangers feel was that they were splicing together random bits of Japanese footage around an original American story. And the power chamber was most definitely in the basement. But anyway.
So the actual episode was about an ugly red-headed kid
who can't hide baseball. His New Zealand accent at all.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been worse in the New Zealand-produced Power Rangers series, but this was still pretty bad.
And he makes a deal with the Monster of the Week for some reason.
Yeah, the Monster of the Week convinces him that if he quits playing baseball and he gives up on his dream, that his dad will come back home from the army.
Or something like that, anyway.
Yeah.
Made all the better by Pinky swearing with the monster.
And then made all the better by Red eventually crushing the kid's hope by making an illusion of his father.
Of his implicitly dead father.
Yeah.
Yeah, he summons the kid's ghost.
No,
kid's dad's ghost.
No, it's an illusion. It's...
I call bullshit. That's no f***ing illusion. He summoned the dead.
No, what he did was make the kid schizophrenic. He's having a hallucination induced by Red's power.
Yes, he's making the kid think he's seeing his dad.
See, that sounds like something Takeru would do, but not this Red so far.
Takeru wouldn't even acknowledge the kid's presence at all. He wouldn't have helped him.
Well, you'll notice that up until that point in the episode, he was not involved directly with the kid anyway. It was all Blue and
Pink. Anything so far.
It was all... Well, okay, do you remember watching Shinkanger Returns?
I didn't watch that.
Oh. One recurring element through Shinkanger Returns was that in all of the worlds that the Shinkanger's dreams produced, everyone had Takeru sitting on a bench or a platform doing nothing. Because that is most of what he did throughout Shinkanger, and obviously whatever his name is doing pretty much the same thing so far.
And it ended with him yelling, "Is that really how you perceive me?"
Yeah. Shinkanger Returns was pretty good.
Shinkanger was pretty good.
Yeah, well, after Genta showed
eventually.
But yeah,
he didn't hit the ground running like Gokaiger certainly did.
They also kind of... they kept the blue and pink thing going on from the equivalent episode of Shinkanger here, but they changed the ending a little bit, where in Shinkanger, Pink just has this thing about fixing broken people. So as soon as Blue isn't having his own problems anymore, she completely loses interest in him. But that part's slightly omitted in Samurai.
So they could develop that if they wanted to.
But they probably won't.
Yeah, probably.
They're too busy having creepy
stalking.
Stalking by raising the dead.
So one thing I'm a little confused is okay, so the Blue Ranger's element is water.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, and his dragon breathes fire?
Maybe it's just wet fire.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it's so cold water it burns.
Maybe it breathes like an alcohol flame.
Your mom burns.
Or maybe it's shooting napalm. That's sort of wet, right?
I think so.
A gel is considered wet, isn't it?
Yes.
So there you go. Or something, I don't know, whatever.
Okay. Well, that was Samurai.
Yes, that was certainly was.
That was Samurai, the least interesting thing we watched all week.
I don't know about that.
No?
I think episode 29 of Kuga is probably the least interesting thing I watched all week.
You're supposed to watch 30.
I watched 32, but I thought you were supposed to watch both of them, so.
I think I only specified 30.
Yeah, I don't think I was paying attention.
Okay, I'll rephrase anyway. That was the most boring of our normal weekly shows.
The most boring new thing.
Well, whatever.
Correct.
But it's a nice change from Ghost Sager being the worst thing we watched all week.
Well, nothing we watched this week was as bad as Ghost Sager.
For those of us who watched Ghost Sager anyway.
Hey, I watched a good 5 episodes of that show.
And I watched like 30.
I watched 0.
Proving Fort Max is the smartest among all of us.
And what does that say about us or Gosei?
One at a time, boys.
And what does Fort Max being the smart one say about us or Gosager?
Nothing good, that's for sure. Mickey?
Yes.
How many days of the 145 days of Power Rangers did you watch?
Me?
Yeah.
Yes, you.
All of them?
That's still better than watching any episodes of Gosager.
Yeah,
except maybe for the season 2 episodes. I'm not too hot on those. But that's another show. Okay, so I guess we'll take a break again.
Get more Kool-Aid.
Well, I still got a full glass of cheer wine, so.
Tammy D's Real Brand Mayonnaise.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna, and do you like video games? Do you like people who like video games? Well, if so, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. It's the weekly video game podcast of record. News, rumors, in-depth discussion of new and retro gaming, plus the occasional contest or giveaway. So if you game, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. Check us out at tfradio.net, a proud member of the Transformers Internet Radio Network.
The third strike, y'all, the Street Fighter 3.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
Okay, so for Twitter Theater this week, we watched an episode of the first of the Heisei Masked Rider series. The one that brought the franchise back.
The one that everyone seems to worship.
for some reason.
Yeah.
So yeah, we watched episode 30, and some of us also watched episode 29 of Masked Rider Kuga. Give them what we find. Gonna get on the guitar. Metamorphy must get wider.
Well, one of us watched 29.
Well, I don't know if the others did, too.
I didn't.
Well, nope. You've seen it before, haven't you?
Yeah, I watched it.
Oh, okay.
I'm up to, like, episode 48.
Well, before we get into 30, let's just briefly touch on 29, which is possibly the most boring, nothing episode of any show I've ever watched.
It was a clip show, wasn't
no,
it?
No, 31
it was
a clip show.
Nothing but people standing around talking quietly.
Okay, now, wait. Before we get too far into this... You call it the most boring nothing ever, but don't forget you watched Armor Hero.
It felt like an Armor Hero episode.
Oh.
That's how bored I was by 29. Thankfully, 30 was much more interesting and approachable.
Well, that's good. So if you would have just watched the episode I told you to...
Right.
It wouldn't have been so bad.
But 29 like didn't even feel like a Masked Rider episode until the last 5 minutes of it.
Well, okay. One of the things about Kuga is that it's a pretty heavily character-driven series, which isn't bad if you watch the whole series.
Yeah, I don't think coming in at the middle like this actually helped our opinions of it very much.
Probably not, but this episode was the first introduction of a certain aspect of Kuga that I'm very entertained by.
Which is?
The part at the end.
Which is?
The theme song?
The theme song wasn't at the end.
Oh, that was at the beginning.
The big explosion?
Yeah, that.
Oh, that, yes.
So what, does that explosion go on the rest of the series?
No, it was just a rider kick that made a 3-kilometer radius explosion.
That seems a tad excessive. A
little bit, yeah. But okay, Kuga has 4 main forms. The red one is Mighty Form. The green one is Pegasus, blue is Dragon, and the silver and purple one is Titan.
Titan?
No. Then on top of that, each one of those forms has a rising form where it gets gold trim and is more powerful. Rising Mighty was the last one to be introduced and is the most powerful of the group. And if the Rider Kick is used at full power, or apparently any power, it creates a giant explosion that destroys everything around it, including the monster. So, after this...
So there's a big hole in the city now?
Or a lot of it's burnt up or something, I don't know.
Is this what G learned from?
G only wishes he could cause destruction on this massive of a scale.
Yeah, G just hated windows.
But, for every instance of Rising Mighty Kuga after this, they specifically have to... drive the monster out into a big open area where the explosion can go off without damaging any property or hurting anybody. Seriously, it happens every single time.
That makes it sound a lot better than it was when we saw it.
Kuga gets his motorcycle, clamps the flying beetle armor thing onto it, impales the Grongi, and drives it until they're in a big empty area. Then he stops real fast and throws it off the motorcycle. It's one of the first things I heard about Kuga, that one of his rider kicks destroyed half the city. I think that's why I actually kept watching it after the initial episodes, when it seemed so cheap and boring.
Well, it is pretty cheap, isn't it?
It's pretty obvious that the budget was not that great.
But it works with what it has very well.
But, like one of the villains or something had a etch-a-sketch pad.
Oh, well, that's some point. In the early episodes, they're carrying around a magnadoodle.
Why?
For real?
Yeah, for real. It's supposed to be their writing slate. How a magnadoodle's cheaper than a chalkboard, I don't know. But it's what they had. Probably they wanted something that looked a little bit more alien.
Maybe they just stole it.
They stole it and then dressed it up with some paper mache so it would look ancient-y. Okay, so besides the boring part, were there any specific things you had thoughts on about this episode?
Well, I liked the actor playing the main writer, or what?
Kuga.
Kuga himself, yeah.
Yusuke.
He was, what was his name?
Yusuke.
Yusuke, yeah, he's pleasant.
Yeah, that's kind of his gimmick.
Everyone else seems like they'd be more comfortable in a Japanese version of ER.
Which is where most of the episode took place, really.
So it's where they could just, like, look sternly and sound concerned.
Yeah, there is still a little bit of that.
Oh, yeah. Explain to me Captain France here in the middle of the episode.
Oh, that's Jean.
Yeah. Oh, what's up with the white dude showing up in my Masked Rider show?
He works at the university where Yusuke's friend works.
I thought Japan didn't let white people on TV.
Especially French Canadians.
Oh, he's Canadian too.
Well, I don't know that for sure. I don't know that for sure, but since he peppers random English into his dialogue and has a French name, I'm just gonna assume he's French Canadian.
He's in Japan.
So?
Doesn't everyone pepper random English into their sentences there?
I think it's just the Japanese.
Yeah,
I'm going to assume money was involved at some point.
If I was in Japan, I would be putting like random Spanish into my Japanese instead of English, just to be more confusing. Well, why not?
Chalupa.
Gordita. I don't even think that's a Spanish word. Taco Bell just made that up.
It ends in a vowel. It's totally Spanish.
Cucaracha.
Kamen Rider Cucaracha.
I don't think there's been a rider based on a cockroach so far.
There needs to be one now.
Mm. Yeah.
But yeah, you called him the main rider. There's actually only Kuga in Kuga. There is no other rider in the series.
Oh, okay.
I would say it's probably because they didn't have enough budget to make another costume, but for all the form changes and all the Grongi suits, they probably could have thrown something together.
But the form changes are basically just recoloring the costume, right?
Well, except for Titan form, that armor's pretty different. The other ones could credibly be called recolor or minor resculpting of the chest plate. Of course, Kuga also has a fifth form that occasionally gets used, which is the growing form when he turns all white and his horns get smaller.
Did we see that one this one episode too?
I don't know. Did he turn white in this episode? I don't remember.
Yeah,
I thought he did.
Okay, well, that would be growing form. That's what happens when he gets, like, hurt or something.
Yeah, that happened.
I was there. It happened.
And then after that, he can't transform for a while.
That's his power down mode.
Pretty much, yeah. It's his funny looking mode with the little tiny horns. But yeah, there's no specific reason given for there being white guy in the middle of the show. He just kind of is, and you come to accept it.
Okay.
All right, then.
So, anything else about that?
Well, just the obvious question. I haven't really seen the Kuga show before, but I have seen Decade's version of Kuga. What are some of the big differences?
Okay, there's Detective Ichijo, who is Yusuke's friend in the police. And then there is Sakurako, who is his friend in the university. Now, in the Decade version of Kuga's world, they combined those two characters into one, basically.
And she was the woman that died after he met Decade, right?
Yeah, fighting the Grongi. Also, you were saying how Yusuke seems to be a rather pleasant fellow in this series.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they couldn't get the original Kuga actor back for Decade, so their stand-in for him just comes across as kind of dumb.
Oh. Yeah, he actually reminds me a lot of Eiji.
Not actually spacey,
but sort of just cheery about all this.
Well, yeah, and Yusuke has gone off on world-traveling adventures, too.
Hmm.
So there are similarities between the characters that probably is at least partly intentional. There's not really a lot of other substantial differences between this and Decade's version of Kuga, just because the Decade visit to Kuga's world was so brief, like all of them were. In the Decade version, there was only 8 or 9 Grongi, where by this point in the series, there had been 40 or so. Of course, half of the Grongi and Kuga were off-screen, and you don't actually ever see them. Until you realize that it gets confusing when they jump, like, 10 or 12 places in the numbering.
Yeah, what's up with the numbering? Why is Kuga number 4?
When the Grongi were first awakened, they didn't know the difference between what Kuga was and what the Grongi were. They were all just unidentified life forms. So Kuga's red form was the 4th one seen and numbered, so they call him number 4.
Okay.
His white form is also called number 2 because it was the 2nd one seen. And that's how that works.
Okay, I see.
All the Grongi have proper names, but you don't actually know most of them just from watching the series.
It's all there in the manual, pretty much?
Yeah. Being that they mostly speak in the Grongi language through the whole series, there's only a few names that you can actually pick up.
That reminds me of something from episode 29. There are scenes with the villains where they weren't translated.
That's because they're speaking in Grongi.
Okay.
And so
would it kill the subtitle guys to put in something like Grongi speak?
Well, that's the thing. Most of the groups who have even attempted to subtitle Kuga, this group is actually the first one to do it all the way through. Most of them have chosen to leave the Grongi untranslated on purpose, even though it is possible to translate it into Japanese and then English. But they choose to leave it untranslated because that was the original intent with the series as it aired.
So my impression of it was not knowing that. Was it...
They're leaving half the show untranslated. Apparently, when you translate the Grongi language, it gives away a lot of the later plot elements of the series.
Hmm.
So if you want to go through and not have any of the secrets given away...
What is the Grongi language?
The Grongi language is basically just a sound substitution version of Japanese.
Hmm.
Like, there's
What Paladin said, they should have just put in, say, like, Grongi language being spoken. Not translate, but just tell you that they were acknowledging it.
I think when TV Nihon subbed the Kuga's World episodes of Decade, they put in some kind of script that wasn't readable, but took the place of the Grongi language.
So that would work, too.
Yeah. But, you know, they're all like, fancy in Photoshop and everything. That'd probably be a little bit harder to do with the just using soft subs and normal text subs like this.
So they use some kind of horrible, impossible to read font like Comic Sans.
Wingdings.
Yeah, I was gonna say Wingdings. Something like that. Yeah. No. What they should do is just subtitle the Grongi in kanji and katakana. Which, on some of these episodes, depending where they were sourced from, there is that already in the episode. I think 29 or 30 actually had that in there.
30 did have subtitles that were subtitled in a hard-coded bar below the main picture.
Yeah, it was part of the original video file. Because, like, the DVD releases had that as an option to have the Grongi subtitles. In Japanese, of course. So that, you know, once you've actually watched the series, you can go back and find out what they were talking about.
Yeah, but with this, it was an additional black bar below the main picture.
Yeah, I know. This subtitle group is not that great, to be honest.
No. This was the picture that was being used that had the Grongi subtitles. The black bars where the Japanese subtitles were.
Yes, Fort Max, I'm aware of that. Well, my point is, this is not the greatest subtitling group. Their stuff is not very consistent from episode to episode.
Could we have some subtitles for that, please?
I heard it fine.
Subtitles for what?
The buzzing?
Nobody's buzzing.
Right.
That was Kuga.
That was Kuga.
Probably I'm glad I watched it.
Probably should watch it from the beginning.
I didn't really enjoy it, but I can tell that, for the most part, it's at least competent.
It is competent. I mean, they do a lot with very little, and I actually came to appreciate the fairly minimalist Grongi designs. By minimalist, I mean cheap.
See, I have no problem with the low budgetiness of the
It kind of makes it campy, doesn't it?
Well, no, it's the tone of the show just sort of is in the opposite direction of what I like to see. I like the peppy, bright, sort of goofy nature of Double and O's.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like when stuff gets very serious and dark and broody. That just kind of bores me a little bit.
Mm-hmm. You know, really watching these episodes, you also missed out on one of the other recurring cheap traits of the show, which is that there's almost no on-set explosions. They're all superimposed later.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
It's actually kind of funny. But still, considering, you know, the low budget and everything, it's pretty remarkable that Kuga was popular enough to have a sequel series the next year and then restart the whole franchise again.
So yeah, thanks for that.
Maybe a little bit dull and slow moving at times and hard to get into in the middle, but it's a pretty good series.
That sounds like your mom.
I don't think your mom's hard to get into in the middle. You just got to pay her enough.
Oh, okay.
But the dull and slow moving, yeah. I can totally see that. Maybe next time we should watch some Agito.
Sure.
That was next year's series, which was remarkably a direct sequel to, well, basically direct sequel to Kuga. Takes place in the same world. Of course, that series has four writers instead of just one. Yeah, four.
It's an improvement.
Probably had more budget, too. But no, that's not what we're watching next week.
What are we watching next week?
Next week we are watching the first two episodes of Kabuto, dubbed in English for the Philippines. Or Malaysia, or some place like that.
Is it anything like the Omni Productions dub of Headmasters?
Probably not quite as fun.
Damn.
There's probably not any like random renaming or anything going on.
Damn.
We're also having shut up. Darn that Fort Max.
That should be the tagline for the podcast.
We're having a special guest host next week to talk about Kabuto.
Are we actually going to have one, or are they just going to forget again?
Well, I told this one that if he doesn't show up, I'm going to come and break his knees. So even if he doesn't show up, I'll have a good time afterward. I'm going to go get that roleplay Thor's hammer that we saw at Toy Fair and go do
I still haven't seen a picture of that yet.
Go look at ASM.
Yeah, I didn't see anything for the Thor movie there, though.
Really?
I saw Captain America, but I didn't see anything else.
Let us look. But yeah, our guest host next week is Barricade 64.
Who that is.
He seems to be a fan of all of our shows.
Ooh, that's unfortunate.
And he's a regular
in the... That raises a red flag.
He's a regular in the chat for the live broadcasts.
How come we don't have live broadcasts?
Because we suck.
Fanboy Versus has live broadcasts.
Fanboy Versus has an audience.
I thought you said they didn't.
Well, they get like 4 or 5 people in for a live broadcast.
That's more than us, so...
Okay, maybe you didn't scroll down far enough for the Thor gallery.
Perhaps I did not.
But there's the proper roleplay toys. There's also the Nerf version of the Thor's hammer.
Why does the sword say Thor on the side of it? That's weird.
For the same reason that swords say Power Rangers on them?
Yeah, I guess so.
It was even made by Bandai?
Well, if you're going to have words on any kind of Thor roleplay weapon, it needs to be the hammer. I see no words on it.
And it needs to be in Norse, too.
Yes.
But yes, they're making roleplay hammer toys for the Thor movie, and I cannot overstate my enthusiasm for this concept. I want roleplay hammer toys for Power Rangers, even if there's no hammers in the series. Like, you know how in Overdrive, Black had the giant tire mallet thing?
Yes.
I wanted a one-to-one scale replica of that to hit people with.
Well, hammers are good.
Yes, yes they are.
Most of the time.
Well, they're good as long as you're the one holding the hammer.
Exactly.
And in Overdrive, well...
Nothing good in Overdrive. Even the ending. because the ending of Overdrive is just the theme song again. Maybe that should be our end theme for this show.
No, this show never ends.
No, we did the Firmism thing last week.
Oh.
Don't want to run that into the ground just yet, right?
Right.
Unlike your mother.
Paladin, you said you've got the Figure Arts of Excel, right?
Yeah.
Is it any good?
Yeah, I like it.
That was informative.
I'm definitely follows the design out. Pretty faithful.
You know, Paladin, if you ever get the urge, you could record some reviews of your figure arts for us. You don't have to just do Megazords.
I will, eventually. I have Figure Arts Tatoba in the mail right now, supposedly.
Oh, did you order Shinken Red, too?
No, not yet, anyway.
Couldn't get a pre-order in?
Yeah.
Darn.
I went with the open one, and that was O's.
I went with the open one, your mom.
Wide open.
Probably spent less than I did.
I was going to say, that only cost me a nickel. And it didn't have to ship overseas. Because, you know, your mom has to go by boat.
Your mom is a boat.
But she's not very buoyant.
Fat floats.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
Unless it's lighter than water.
If fat floats, I should float really well, but I sink like a rock.
Maybe you're too full of ham.
I don't like
Maybe
ham.
You don't have enough fat.
But I don't want to be fatter. I'm kind of pushing it as it is.
Your mom's pushing it as it is.
Ah, push it.
Right. So, do we have anything else for our show this week?
No, let's finish it.
Is it over? Finished? Damn it,
no.
You got me doing that too. Hate you guys so much.
It's mutual.
There certainly Definitely. Was a lot less. There was a lot less cursing in this episode than there was last week.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Fortunately, there's not as much cursing, and I probably won't lose my editing notes this time. That was rather inconvenient before.
Ha.
Ha ha.
Ha ha ha.
This has been Superhero Time. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.
I'm going to try to... If I have contacted the guy, the Grown-Ups and Spandex channel, to ask about a possible alternate subtitle track that uses the Dynaman dub attack terms.
I'm sure they'll get right on that for you.
Well, when the response was about a new World War II movie you wanted to see with a different special ending.
What are you talking about?
I have no idea.
When the response to the suggestion was quoting from the dub.
What suggestion?
That they include a second subtitle track on episodes where the Dynaman costumes are used. That uses the dub
attacks
and stuff.
Okay, I got you now.
Doesn't matter, I'm editing that whole mess out anyway.
But...